I want to give you a simple thought today as I get ready to preach Easter. My plan is to preach from the subject found fishing, which I did a video devo on a while back. And I'm going to attempt to expand that. And if the Lord leads me a different direction, well, then I'll pivot. But as of now, I want to preach about found fishing. And I want to talk today about one specific aspect. I don't know if it'll get in the sermon or not, but it definitely was in my heart. Because it's a lesson I have to learn over and over again in my life. And it's the skill of reset ability. Is that a word? It is now. Reset ability. How you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 for reset ability? Reset ability. Let's see if I can make that make sense and get you a good answer. Maybe get you a point or two higher when I finish this teaching today. Let's just use verse 6 of John 21. Remember, Peter and the boys are back fishing. Jesus comes out. They don't know it's Jesus. Ask them, do they have any fish? They said, no. And he said, verse 6, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Tells us in verse 11 that it's 153 fish. So from 0 to 153, what percent increase is that? Somebody do the math. That's pretty good. All because they demonstrated reset ability. What is reset ability, you might ask? It is the ability to reset. Only the best here in the basin. This is the deep mysteries of God we're working out here. Yeah, but for real, I had a moment this morning where I was trying to correct one of my kids about something, and it just got more heated than I intended. I got more heated than I intended. It was very mild, but it shifted the energy in the room, and I felt like, oh man, now I ruined the whole morning. And I thought, after that, no, you didn't. Just shift it. Just shift it. And after about a minute of working through that particular incident that came up, we just shifted. And hey, we recovered, and the rest of the morning was good so far. I don't think I did any lasting damage. I wasn't cussing or slinging plates around the room, anything like that. Just quick reset. Well, imagine that. I think the interesting thing about John 21 is you have a minor reset embedded in a major reset. Peter is in need of restoration. Although he's seen resurrection now, and although Jesus has appeared to him, he still doesn't really know the direction of the next season of his life. Is he going to be a fisherman again? Or is God going to use him to do something else? And I love this little incident with the fish because, like I said in my video, Devo Be Found Fishing, like I'm planning to preach on Easter Sunday, I'm excited to share it too. Peter went back to the place where he originally received his call as God's disciple, symbolizing for me how sometimes we need to go back to a place where we experienced God when we feel dry or disappointed or disillusioned or even sometimes without direction. Going back to that place and doing what we know to do will reveal God in a fresh way. And that's very practical, isn't it? How we use this phrase, going through the motions, almost in a negative sense. Sometimes, but Peter seemed to be going through the motions. Hey, I'm going fishing. Caught nothing, but eventually God caught him. And Jesus called him into the next phase of his ministry. He used Peter to be one of the lead apostles in building the church. What an incredible, incredible future this fisherman had ahead of him. And yet, in the middle of the big reset that Jesus was setting up here, because this fishing incident is a setup. Somebody say it's a setup. Yeah, it's a setup for what Jesus is going to do next, because he's transforming Peter from a fisherman to a shepherd. Not vocationally, but in terms of his values. He's getting Peter to see himself not as someone who just catches fish, but someone who fishes for men and then ultimately who feeds the sheep. So he's getting him to see his future differently. I heard a song the other day on the Tom Petty station on Sirius XM, "The Future Ain't What It Used to Be." And I thought, oh, that'd be a good sermon. Maybe I'll bring that up on my Easter sermon. But before Jesus can take Peter through three different times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep," and tell him, hey, in the future, you need to follow me, not your own idea of what I'm going to do. And don't get sidetracked on what I do through other disciples like John. You just follow me. Before he can do any of that, he gives him this little test. Can you reset? The question isn't, Peter, do you have the ability to change the world, preach the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and, survive the attacks that are going to come against you in my name? The question is, when I try to reset you, will you let me? Will you let me reset you? Proven by the fact that here in John 21, Jesus says, throw your nets on the other side of the boat, which requires them to completely reset and do it a completely different way. And they have to do it just based on the word that's coming out of this man's mouth, not even knowing at this point it's the Lord, but resetting because what I'm doing isn't working. And that's kind of the moment that I had this morning. I'm kind of feeling what's going on between me and my kid, and I'm like, well, this isn't getting the result I wanted. Even if the result that I want is the right one, I'm not going about it the right way. Let me do this the other way, right? Or as the scripture says here, the right side of the boat. Reset to the right side. I hear the Lord saying that to someone right now. Reset to the right side. That doesn't mean that they had been fishing on the wrong side, like, oh, the left side of the boat is evil, because in the Bible, the word left is from the Hebrew word that means the same as Satan the accuser. There's no deep meaning here. It's just, you got to do it different now. And I believe that God brings us into seasons, and maybe he's brought you into a season where he's testing your willingness to reset. The kids are at a different stage or age, and you're having to learn how to parent them differently. Or sometimes the hardest one of all is that your expectation wasn't met by somebody else of a project success. It looks like failure right now, but God is saying, no, just reset and you will find some. You will find some. That word find really got my attention because I'm preaching about found fishing. But they couldn't just keep fishing on the same side over and over again and expecting a different result. One thinker said that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting to get a different result. So Jesus tests Peter to say, will you do it another way? Cast your net to the right side. And of course, the net came up heavy when they reset. I wonder, does God want to bring your net up heavier? But you gotta be willing to reset. That maybe you're at this place right now in your life where, okay, I started off this year thinking I'd be at a certain point by April, but I'm not. I started off this decade thinking I'd be at a certain place financially, but I'm not. Some things affected my progress. I started off this day thinking I was gonna get a certain amount done. But then I got completely interrupted. Okay, let's reset. That's the word of the Lord today. Let's reset. A lot of times when we hear big church words like resurrection, repentance, they sound good. I think sometimes we like them because they're abstract. Resurrection, that means God's going to bring dead things to life, dead dreams, dead hopes, dead plans. God's going to resurrect them, turn a grave into a garden. God's going to take my setback, turn it into a setup. But you've got to first just maybe reset. Reset. And breathe. Breathe in and remember, hey man, I'm alive. Breathe in and remember, hey man, my life isn't as bad as I'm starting to believe that it is. Hey man, there's a different way to do this. There's a different way to come about it. I don't have to just keep doing this and wondering why my head hurts. Reset. Maybe stop doing that. Maybe fish on the right side. Maybe ask God what that is. Maybe reset your nets in this season. How's your reset ability? A lot of people that I meet are really good at it. I was playing tennis with Chunks one time, and I do use all these tennis examples on these video devos as if I'm like good at it. It's not that I'm good at it. It's just that, well, my mind only thinks about sermons, so I thought of a million illustrations out there on the tennis court when I was trying to learn how spiritual life is kind of like this tennis thing that I'm learning, and discipleship is kind of like being out there trying to learn your serve, right? Because we serve God, whatever. Anyway, Cordy. But I heard Chunk say something under his breath. He's like, he was actually down. I don't know how he got down to me. There must have been some, he probably was letting me win. But he was down 30 love, and I had 30 and he had love. And he said, I'll just beat him back one ball at a time. I was like, what'd he just say under his breath? He's coaching himself, beat him back one ball at a time. And he did. I choked, he won. That game, that set, that match. How? One ball at a time. And I think a lot of times when it comes to getting our momentum back with God, we lose sight of how easy it can be to just reset. Okay, the next word that I speak is going to be positive. The next question I ask is going to be curious, not condemning. The next move I'm going to make is going to be one with energy. I think we overestimate sometimes how far we are from God. Yeah, that's good. And underestimate how close He is. It's just a reset. One thing that Peter knew about the power of a reset is that even when he was sinking, trying to walk to Jesus on water one time, all he had to do was cry out, Lord, save me. And God caught him. Jesus caught him. Sometimes you underestimate how close God is. You know, you're just one thought away from the goodness of God. One thought away. One thought away from knowing He's near. I love this song that Elevation Rhythm put out last week. The Savior is a breath away. Isn't that beautiful? Peace, joy, a breath away. When Jesus breathed his last on the cross, we were one breath away from heaven coming to earth. And I wonder, are you just a breath away from a reset in your life today? One breath away from a breakthrough in your thinking. A breath away. That's beautiful, isn't it? That's beautiful. What was the other thought I had before that? I can't remember it now, but I'm just kind of lost in these thoughts and how they might come out in the sermon. We overestimate. And I want to break this down a little bit. How far we are from God. 100 yards away, Jesus was on the shore. I don't know if you have read this passage, but it said that Jesus stood on the shore and the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He's so close, but you don't know it. And that's why I don't want you to give up on yourself. That's why I don't want you to sink into the failure. I want you to rise above it and know that God has already made a plan for you to be back in. God has already made a way for you to step back in to His grace. God has already made a way. And all you have to do by faith is receive Him in this moment. But the devil doesn't want you to reset. He wants to tell you, nah, you messed up this marriage, so there's no hope for you. You've already messed up with your kids. It's already too late. No. Something so simple as reset. Reset. Put the nets on the right side. There you go. Those fish aren't far. Your freedom isn't far. It's right there. So, will you let him reset you today? Will you let the Savior reset you? He wants to. Will you let him? I hear heaven saying, this is a reset. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, Peter says in his epistle. And he will lift you up in due time. I like how due time, I might point this out in the sermon, you can spell it DUE time, like how Peter says it. Let's look up the scripture. Y'all know I really like this large print Bible. That thing is awesome. I might switch to this one for my preaching. I've been thinking I was going to use the margin one after I gave Abby the one we call Fat Cat for her 12th birthday. But this one is so cool. And my eyes like it because I'm getting the. I'm not going to confess that. Yeah, humble yourselves. First Peter. First Peter 5:6. Will you let him reset you? Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. It's due time. It's due time. Yeah, that's really fun. Because look, in John 21:6, he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, you'll find some. When they did, they were unable. They were unable. But he was able. I think that verse is so annoying. It's for Easter. Listen. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. When they did. When they did. Now, I'm going to contrast for a moment, just as I sketch this sermon out and this devotional thought. I'm going to contrast what they did, drop the nets on the right side, and what he did when he died for us. What he did when he went on that cross. What he did when he bore your sin and shame. What he did. Whew. Sorry, it's just so anointed. What he did when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What he did when he said in Gethsemane, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What he did when he said, When he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? What he did when he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. what he did, what he did. This is a time for us to remember what he did, what he did when he marched his cross up Calvary, what he did when he stumbled and fell, and the soldier said to the man who was nearby, carry his cross, what he did when he chose the way of suffering over the way of convenience and ease, what he did when he stepped down from heaven, took on flesh as an infant, born of a virgin womb, what he did when he raised not only the dead man called Lazarus, but when he raised the woman up out of the dirt who'd been caught in the act of adultery, what he did when he told Bartimaeus, you can receive your sight, what he did when the children came to him and he said, let them come, what he did. Remember what he did? Remember what he did? Remember what he did. Fish for that. What he did. What he did. Easter is a moment for me to remember what he did. Put my faith in what he did. Believe in what he did. But the Bible says he had already done that. And Peter still needed something else. It wasn't just in what Jesus did that Peter's next step was found. It was when they did. When they did. How can he have done all that and their nets still be empty? Well, there was an action that they had to take. And I believe for many of you here on Easter Sunday, there's what he did, and there's what God is calling you to do. What is God calling you to do today? Is he calling you to get back into a practice of gratitude? Is he calling you to get back into the boat of hope and stop being so cynical? Is he calling you to reset and say, God, this is not where I expected my life to be, but I trust in you. I promise you something. There is a right side of this boat. There's a whole other side of this boat. And I believe that on the other side, you're going to see some great things. But how is your reset ability? Are you going to stay on this side forever? Or are you going to throw it on the other side and see what God can do? I believe this word is going to minister to thousands of people this week. But I just want to, right now, ask it on a personal level. Is it you that God is speaking to? Is it you that he's trying to reset? You know, the Bible says that he will lift you up in due time, but sometimes you won't let him. You won't let him. Let him reset you. Let him use you. Let him restore you. Let him heal you. Let him in. We have a song we've been singing lately that says, let the waymaker through. Do that today. It's due time. It's due time. You know, the Bible says, at just the right time, Christ died. You know that scripture? Let me get off my screen for a minute. I'm sure it'll keep recording. At just the right time. Where is it in Romans? At just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die. I'm sorry, I'm just going slow because this is so beautiful to me. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, The thought I get from that is God found me at the bottom. God found me at the bottom. God doesn't wait for me to get my life to a certain place. No. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, at just the right time, when we were still powerless. You're like, that doesn't sound like the right time. No, that's the right time. It's due time. When your nets are empty, when your faith is all out, that's the time. That's the time where he steps in and does what only he can do. God found those fish at the bottom and he called them to the surface. And I believe he's doing the same in you right now. He's calling it to the surface. See, at just the right time, right time, right side. At just the right time, when Lazarus had been dead 4 days, you see where I'm going with this? At just the right time, Jesus spoke the word that would release him from his grave clothes. At just the right time. At just the right time. I'm telling you're right where you're supposed to be for your life. You are right, say that out loud. I am right where I'm supposed to be. You say, I can't say that. I should be farther along. No. If you were further along right now, you wouldn't have the humility. If you were further along right now, you wouldn't know the lessons. If you're further along right now, you'd think it was you. God said, I got you right where I want you. Jesus found Peter fishing and catching nothing. God said, I got you at just the right time. God said, now that I've got you at just the right time, I'm going to clean you up and I'm going to use you as an instrument for others. But you got to let me reset you. You got to do that. Some of you, it's a decision today to make your decision to follow Jesus Christ. Some of you, it's your decision daily. To go, I'm not going to let my whole day get off track because of one thought, because of 10 seconds. The power of the reset is that anytime I decide to put my mind on Jesus, on God, what he did, I can find peace and joy and strength because the Savior is a breath away, a prayer away, an act of faith away. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes right now. I'm praying right now for those who are coming to church this Easter or maybe this Good Friday, who need to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. I see them right now in my spirit coming to church. I see grown men with tears in their eyes at this moment because the power of the reset, the power of the reset, that God is reaching past your weakness and calling forth resurrection strength, that God is reaching past the mistakes that you made and turning them into miracles. Hallelujah. That God is going to wipe away the shame, give you a new heart. Heart of flesh for a heart of stone, and raise you up from the grave of your yesterday and walk with you into your tomorrow. That's what he's saying is follow me forward. Follow me forward. I'll make you not only a fisher of men, but I'm going to make you what you never thought you could be. I'm going to use you. I'm going to do it through you. Let me remind you what he did. He paid the price for your sin. He justified you with his righteousness. At just the right time. You had to be here right now. This was the time God wanted you to hear it. You resisted it before, but God kept you alive because this is my right time. If that's you and God's calling, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, this is my moment. This is my time. Today is my day of salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sin and rose again to give me life. I receive this new life. This is my new beginning. I am a child of God. I will follow you. On the count of three, if you prayed that, throw your hand up. One, two, Three, I see hands going up. I see people in their living rooms, their kitchens. I see people in their hospital beds. I see people in prison. I see people all over the world giving their life to Jesus right now. And I celebrate that. The Bible says that the angels in heaven celebrate for one sinner who repents. God, we celebrate the great work you're going to do in our church, in your church, all over the world this Easter weekend. We call it done. We bring it into this moment. And we thank you that salvation has come to this house today. You always find what you're looking for. You always find us at the bottom. You always raise us up. And this is the right time. I thank you. I come into agreement with you. I thank you that as this message is released, it will find fertile soil. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.